Crop Circles Number 1, a CBC radio program.
Here at the Morning Edition, we think education is a pretty important thing. So when we received an email from a grade 10 student in Connecticut asking for our help, well, we couldn't resist. The email comes from 15-year-old Steve Galt of Woodbury, and he wrote to us describing the research he's doing for a term paper on crop circles. He wants to know more about the circles in Saskatchewan. Well, we couldn't just forward the information to him, although maybe he wishes we would. We had to get him on the line instead to tell us more. So here now, from his school in Woodbury, Connecticut, is Steve Galt. Hi, Steve.
Hello.
Well, tell us, what made you send us this email in Saskatchewan?
Well, I'm doing a term paper on crop circles, and you had a little information center, and I thought you might be able to help.
What got you interested in crop circles?
Well, we had, like, a lottery set up for our term papers, and when it got around to my turn to choose, crop circles were the most interesting topics.
Mm-hmm. What was it you thought was interesting about crop circles?
It was just the most interesting thing on the list, because it's just a mystery how they're made.
You kind of like the X-Files and shows like that, too?
Yeah, I kind of like that.
Now, why did you write to Saskatchewan, though? Why not pick other places that have crop circles?
Because most of the books out now are on the England crop circles, because that's where they're mostly around.
Mm-hmm.
But I heard Saskatchewan had some pretty recent crop circles dating to August.
Mm. All right. Well, we're going to find out more about that for you in just a moment. So you've already done a fair bit of research, have you, on the England crop circles?
Yes.
Okay. So what would you like to know about the crop circle in August in Saskatchewan, that particular finding?
Well, I'd like to know, like, what shapes the crop circles were, maybe how big, what kind of crop they were in, maybe some opinions on what caused them.
All right. Well, we've got just the person to answer some of your questions, so why don't you hang on for a bit, and if there's some questions that you'd like to put to him when we're all done, we'll let you do that, okay?
Okay.
All right. So stand by, Steve. And we've got Chad Dietkin on the line now. He's actually a crop circle specialist, and we reached him in Victoria, B.C. Hi, Chad.
Hi, Sheila.
Well, it sounds like Steve's already done a fair bit of research on the England crop circles, and he's curious about this latest crop circle or crop circles in this province. What can you tell us about those?
Okay. These appeared, I believe, August the 7th or 8th, somewhere in there. I think they were discovered August 7th, and they consist of three circles. One is a 65-footer, and two satellites at 90 degrees to each other, each about 6.5 feet in diameter.
Are they perfect circles?
Pretty well.
Hmm. Where were they found?
At a place near Raymore, Saskatchewan.
Okay. And how common are crop circles here?
They're fairly common. There's in Saskatchewan, you probably get about anywhere from two or three to half a dozen a season.
Hmm.
And those are the ones that are reported. Now, there's certainly a lot more that aren't reported because people don't understand what they are.
Huh. Funny, though. You think they'd want to get some answers and maybe ask someone what's going on.
Yeah. I think a lot of the farmers that find them simply think that it's some form of a weather condition or fertilizer burn or something with a natural explanation, or they're embarrassed to ask, because it is a strange phenomenon.
Yeah, it might be partly that. Well, Steve, of course, is wondering about the cause. He says, what do we know about the cause of these circles?
Well, there are many theories, and as far as the cause goes, there are three possibilities. One is that they're all man-made, or made by people. Two is that it's an act of nature, some strange natural phenomenon. And three is that it's done by some unknown intelligence, and I use the word intelligence with great care.
Mm-hmm. Which theory do you like?
It's a flavor of the month, I guess. I've been involved in a lot of research. I've gone to England for about 7 years now, and I've looked at a lot in Canada too, so I've got a fair bit of research under my belt. We've pretty well eliminated the human element, believe it or not. That's the favorite of people in the media, unfortunately, that these are all made by by humans.
Mm-hmm.
However, we've got tons of evidence that they could not have been made by humans, including a laboratory analysis of the stocks.
And really? What does laboratory analysis tell you? How do you go about proving it wasn't made by people that way?
Well, for one thing, there are changes on the cellular level. Mm. The cells are expanded, and that is very difficult to do naturally or through hoaxing. You're not going to get that sort of result. We've done a lot of seed germinations of the affected seeds, and they germinate a lot faster, and the sprouts grow faster than the control samples from outside of a formation. And they're also in the subcellular level. I don't have time to get into it, but there are changes that are perceivable. And when you make a crop circle and do the same test, you don't get the same results.
Hmm.
So what that indicates is that there's an energy, some sort of an energy that's acting on these stalks when they're pushed down to the ground.
So
it's not a physical thing.
All right. So where does that leave you?
Well, the second possibility, the natural phenomenon, has been looked at at great length also. And there's nothing that we know of that can explain this phenomenon. For one thing, there seems to be something intelligent behind it because they're very precise. The patterns are phenomenal. If you saw some of the ones that have occurred in England, I just came back about a month ago from England. The patterns are so incredibly intricate and bizarre that there's no way a natural phenomenon could cause these. You'd have to see pictures of them.
It's all right.
Absolutely incredible.
Yeah. So what more can you tell us about, I mean, what goes on in your mind? What do you think is responsible? When you picture what's doing this, what do you think is responsible?
Okay. First, I have to be perfectly honest with you. We simply do not know what's causing these. But we can speculate, and every person who's doing research will maybe speculate in a slightly different area. We have to admit that there's something intelligent behind it. These are not random events. They're not placed in fields at random or just come down like snowflakes in the winter, landing wherever they may drop. They're specifically located in crop fields, in wheat, oats, barley, canola, things of that nature. Things that are planted, so it can't be random. So it's an intelligent force. The patterns are definitely intelligent. Every year there's a slightly different theme. This year there are a lot of star patterns. So something intelligent. Now, what intelligence could be causing these? The mind reels, really, and you have to keep one foot in on this planet Earth. You have to remain slightly skeptical, but the intelligence that we're thinking of are possibly interdimensional or extraterrestrial or God only knows. It gets to the point where it's a little embarrassing to speculate because people think you're completely crazy.
No, it's new territory, that's for sure. Well, Steve has been listening to all of this, and Steve shares your fascination with crop circles. Steve, do you have any questions for Chad?
Yeah, did you actually view the Saskatchewan crop circles? Were you actually there?
Yes, I did. I started in 1990. And the first one I ever went to was in Alvena. And I went for 3 years after that, 91, 92. And the one, if you're asking about the August 7th one near Raymore, I didn't go there, in fact. I spoke to the farmer, and I spoke to the RCMP who actually did the investigation. And they have, the RCMP, now it's very interesting, they wrote it up as a natural phenomenon. They call it lodging, which is a combination of wind and rain. When the crops get wet and there's a wind, they fall down. That's a natural phenomenon. We've seen lots of it. But this does not produce a pattern. But they decided, because they didn't have any evidence otherwise, that this was lodging and just left it at that. I spoke to one of the people, one of the constables who was there in the field, and I said, does lodging really make sense to you? And he just paused for a while, and he said, well, not really, but that's what we wrote it up as. In other words, he was not convinced it was lodging. It didn't appear to be lodging. He didn't want to go any further because he's a professional man.
All right, Steve, does that do it for you?
Yep, that's pretty much it.
Okay, well, glad we could help out. Hey, will you call us back and let us know how you do on your term paper?
Sure.
Okay, thanks. Bye. And Chad, thank you very much for helping out. Thanks to both of you.
You're welcome, Sheila. Bye, Steve.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Chad Dietkin is an expert on crop circles. Steve Gault is about to become the expert at his school in Woodbury, Connecticut.